Tonight's the final night of Hanukkah. And I wanted to speak about something which is self-evidently part of Hanukkah. It's clear that it is. And in fact, it's the very name. And it's the one thing that we never speak about. In Poshet, why is it called Hanukkah? Forgetting the Ramos and Poshet Pshat, because there was Hanukkah Samizbeach. And we talk about it in Moos too. Oz Egmor B'Shem Mizmor Hanukkah Samizbeach. We rededicated the Mikdash. Hanukkah Samizbeach. Yet, and everything that we talk about Hanukkah, of the Nisim, of the Neiros, we b'chlal don't, there's no focus on Hanukkah Samizbeach. Hanukkah Samizbeach is a very, very, something very, very significant. The whole Kriyas HaTorah of Hanukkah is about the Hanukkah Samizbeach. The entire Kriyas HaTorah. So we need a little bit to consider what's the inyan of Hanukkah Samizbeach. We'll start. At one point, we had the first time there was the Hanukkah Samizbeach was in the Miluim, the days of the Miluim. Vayehi v'yom hashmini, and yom hashmini was a great day, and it was a sad day. It was great because the Shekhinah came, Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah, brought the Shekhinah to the Mikdash. But it was a sad day too. You see the demise of Nadav and Avihu. Chazal were fascinated with Nadav and Avihu, without any doubt. The Rabbeinu Shem said, "Bekrov by Hakadosh." They were very, very holy people. So where did they slip? Where did they err? So the Chumash tells us a little bit, a couple of things. And Chazal are endless. I think there are eight man di Omerim in the Gemara Nahani Zokin. We know the Ravir what their mistake was, and the Midrash has more. In the simplest aspect, it's in the Nigla in the Torah. In the Nigla in the Torah. So the Torah tells us to put an Eish Zor. What was the Eish Zor? The Eish Zor was that the Mizbeach has to have a fire. So if the fire should blow out, ever, as a deluge and the fire is put out. So we bring a fire and we relight it. That's the halacha. So Nadav and Avihu were faced with a dilemma. Today's opening day of the Mishkan, and where's the fire? Where's the fire? So Nadav and Avihu bring an Eshzor to light, to kindle the Mizbeach. And where did they err? They would have been right than any other day. But the Chayyim tell us they erred because this was the yom of Chinuch HaMizbeach. And the day of Chinuch HaMizbeach has a different halacha. It's the different halacha, Chinuch HaMizbeach. And therefore, on this day, you cannot light the Mizbeach with an ish that the human being created. The Rabbeinu Shalom has to be the one to light the Mizbeach. So what we see at the very outset is that in the Chanukah Samizbeach, at the time of the Chinuch Shavu, there's a higher standard. Eish of a Ben Odom can light the Mizbeach, but he can't light it beyond Chinuch HaMizbeach. The day that it's inaugurated, demands a higher calling. Now, from that, we could simply understand one of the mysteries of Hanukkah, that only Achronim are troubled by, and that is, we have different levels, different tiers of Asiyas HaMitzvahs. And that stems from the fact that the Rishonim have different explanations of the Gemara. So where we sit, we don't have a clear-cut understanding, an absolute understanding of one approach. So the Rambam has his approach, and the Rashba has his, and Rashi has his, and Tosis has his, and the Balamor has his. And somehow along came Rav Yosef Cairo and amalgamated it all and consolidated into what we're supposed to do. But that still leaves the fact that often what we do is not l'chol ha'deis. Often. And that's fine. We're not expected to do l'chol ha'deis. We're expected to follow the mainstream views and the way the G'dayli Achronim were machriya, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gro, etc. There is an Indian in Chassidus, the Ramchal writes, that a person wants to be Mekayim Kol HaDayas. It's a Lefnim Meshur HaSadin. But all of this stems from the fact that we're uncertain as to what the mitzvah is exactly. We don't find in Shas that Shas articulates, well, if you want to be Mekayim this Halacha and Shabbos, do A. If you want to be Mahadran and this Halacha, do B. And if you really want to be Super Mahadran, do C. There are no such Gemaras. We don't have any such Gemaras. The only place we find this in the Halacha is in Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we're given an A, a B, and a C. Want to be Yay to the Mitzvah? But either you're poor or you're a tight one, one of the two. You know, you take one candle, you light it each night, and your Yaitzah, your whole family's Yaitzah, so at the end of Hanukkah, it costs you 8 candles. That's it. You know, you just cut down the expenses by 7/8. If you want to be more particular, so you give out a candle to everybody in the house. Everybody in the house gets a candle. And if you really want to be, if you really want to be the Mahadran and the Mahadran, so here we have, we know a Machlokes of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim principally, or whether Mahadran being Min HaMahadran, only the Balabayas lights, so that the number of nights of the Nes is manifest clearly, or every person in the house lights. Okay, this is all old Torahs, but all of this stems on the Gemara itself. We have a multi-tiered service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, which we don't find anywhere else. We don't find anywhere else. So what's the reason for this? We mentioned along the way the famous teaching of the Bnei Yoshua. There's the famous kasha which revolves around their Chashmonaim coming to the Beis HaMikdash after they drove the Greeks out and searching and finding the one flask of oil that would seem halachically it was not necessary. Right? We have a principle of Tumah Hudra B'Tzibur. If the entire Tzibur is Tumah, then we can be makrov the carbon B'Tumah also. So we assume that if all the oil is Tumah, let's that the people be Tor. But again, if what stands between us and doing the Avodah is Tumah, so Tumah is Hudra B'Tzibur. So even if we had found no Tor oil, we still could have poured the oil into the menorah and lit. And lit the menorah while we waited the days that were necessary to produce appropriate oil for the Bigdash. So if that's the case, Bnei Yeshua says, so then what is the whole miracle of Purim? What were they out to do? Apparently they were searching until they found one flask with this Chosim Shulchan Gadol. So his approach is that, you know, you could be Yaitzeh in a lot of ways, but you want to be Yaitzeh at the highest level possible. Right? In our Gashmias, right? We're unstinting. You know, terms of basic human decency, if a person had a big sack that went from his shoulders till the floor, he cut a hole over his head, so he'd also be fine. But it's not exactly the way any one of us want to appear. We have more upscale ideas of how we ought to look. So when it comes to the Rabbanu Shalom's mitzvahs, we also need to have upscale ideas. Yeah, I could get by with this. But is this the way to do a mitzvah with tummy dick oil? Bring it, use it in the Beis HaMikdash? So they were perturbed. And they looked, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked until eventually they found a flask of oil. So since they wanted to be mahadar b'mitzvahs, they could have just said, all the oils, tummy, we'll take tummy oil, light the menorah, and next week we'll come back with Torah oil. But they were not satisfied to do so. So the Pnei Yeshua said, that's why we also have an Inyan of Mahadrid. To reflect the fact that the entire mitzvah, the entire nes which took place in the whole Hadlokas, in the Mikdash, was rooted in the desire to be Mahadr b'mitzvahs. Not just to get by. Not just, you know, I got a 65, I made it. You know. In life we strive, most people, to get more than 65, a lot more than 65. You know, listen, but the average Shasat Chak, 65 will do. But that's not what we're aiming for. So we don't aim for that in our mitzvahs either. That's the prayer shul. From the standpoint of Chanukah Samazbeach, we could also arrive at the same conclusion. And that is that in the Chinuch HaMazbeach had its own halachas. The eish that was necessary for the Chinuch HaMazbeach is a different eish. You can't use the regular eish. There's a higher standard for Chinuch. In Ramayla, when we celebrate the Chinuch HaMazbeach, we also celebrate in a higher fashion. The regular way, the simple way, you know, we'll light a candle and we'll be fine, doesn't suffice. Because the standard of chinuch, of inauguration, is a higher standard, it's a different standard. So perhaps that accounts for the fact that we have the mahadran, mina mahadran. Now that also, we could perhaps take another look at the medrash the Ramban brings. That Aaron was despondent that he didn't participate in the chinuch HaMizbeach. So the Rabbeinu Shalom told him that you're going to light the menorah. So he wants to know if he wanted to bring a korban for chinuch HaMizbeach, so that he didn't wasn't able to do. He still didn't have a korban. And if the question is, he wanted to have some mitzvah and participate, everyone's korban that they brought, and everything that we read in Chanukah, and the whole days of the Chanukah Samizbeach, could only take place with whose assistance? Only with the Kohanim. If the Kohanim don't show up, they close down, they're out of business. So they certainly participated. So he says it's Meramlis and the Indian of Chanukah. And perhaps the Darkeinu today, we could say the Pshat is, that the mitzvah of Chinuch HaMizbeach is at a higher level. It's its own level. It's a hidur. The Torah demands of us a hidur, to be mahadar as well, mechanach the Mizbeach. So that's why the pious star was in the menorah, because the mitzvah of menorah, as it will devolve into Chanukah, will also, in fact, have the mahadran with it. So to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom at the highest level, not at the lowest level. Also the notion is a chazal. The chazal has endless perushim in it because the chazal were ambiguous about the point that they were trying to make. Right. Tomorrow we're going to read, also not only we'll finish reading of the 12 Nesiim, but we're also going to read about Aaron HaKohen, Baalei Yischos HaNeiros. So we know Rashi writes, Vayaskein Aaron, right? So tells us the Shevach of Aaron Melamed Shalei Shina. I mean, in what sense, you know, we would say a big Shevach. I came in the morning and I put on tefillin. And I wasn't Mishana. You know, I didn't put the Shalyad on my, the wrong hand. I didn't put the Shalyad on my hand, the Shalyad on my head. I mean, it doesn't seem that any of us have any big reason to be Mishana in the mitzvahs. We're trying to do the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, I think the Rabbeinu Shalom could say about us too. The mitzvahs that we do was also Malamed Shalei Shina. I put on a talis every day the same way. I put on a tefillin every day the same way. Well, this, the halacha says I have to do it. So that's what I endeavor to do. So it seems a little bit strange. We're talking about Aaron HaKohen participating in the dedication of the Mikdash. That was going to be B'Halois Chos HaNeiros. And Melamed Shalei Shina. So there are endless pshotim. On this kasha, you could probably write 100 svarim. 100 svarim, probably. So what I would suggest today is perhaps that the Melamed Shalei Shina, it's also one of the Mahalchim. There are different aspects to how it will be. The Zohar relates, it's brought in the Achronim and Hilchus on the page in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchus Tefillin. There's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's Aleph. Without that, nothing goes. But after the Maisa HaMitzvah, it's how much L'Shem Shemayim we do the Mitzvah. We do it because our conscious of Shivisi, of the Rabbeinu Shlomo's presence. I do it because I want to bring the Kedusha of the Rabbeinu Shalom upon me. I do it as a sign of humility before the Rabbeinu Shalom that I accept what he commands me to do. The very aspects of Avodah. The Zohar writes, the Kavonas that go into the Mitzvah are far greater in the totality of the Mitzvah than just the Maisa HaMitzvah itself. You can't just have the kavonas without the Maisa HaMitzvah. That doesn't go. The menorahs. But if I have the Maisa HaMitzvah, and on top of that, I have a deep kavona, then the mitzvah soars. So, that's one of the pshatim, really. Melamed Shalei Shina means the same way. How did Aaron HaKohen enter on the first day that he came to do the mitzvah? He was despondent. The Rabbi Rishon tells him, "Alois Chos HaNeiros." So he comes. He has a tremendous enthusiasm. This is his chance to participate in the opening phases of the Mishkan. So he comes with great slavos, great enthusiasm, great awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. He was very, very aware of the Rabbeinu Shalom. What does it tell us about the Meluim? But the Meluim, it tells us, Shayam Bush. He was overwhelmed. I'm going to go to open a Beis HaMikdash. Pretty heady stuff. He was overawed by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So there's no question when he entered to light the menorah, he entered with such an approach. Shaila is what happens a week later, a month later, 2 months later. Do you also come in this fired up or not? And that's a very subtle and difficult question. There's a very famous story about this. And the story is demanding and illuminating at the same time. The story is that the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal was once at a chasana, and so the Batchan gets up and does his spiel, you know, the serious things, the letzonas, whatever, joking, there's all different parts of the Batchan's job. So the Batkin came over to the Satmar Rav, and he asked him if he has permission to imitate the way he davened, to imitate him. So the Rebbe said, fine, go do what you want. So he started to imitate the way that the Rebbe davened on Hoshana Rabbah, which was renowned. And in the middle of his imitation, the Rebbe put his head down and started to cry. So the Batchan felt terrible that somehow he obviously insulted the Rebbe or whatever. So he finished, and he went over and he asked the Rebbe Mechila that I was tired of Rebbe. So the Rebbe told him, no, you were not at all the cause of my tears. You were not mitzayer me, and at least you didn't do anything inappropriate. But you made me ask myself, because I was listening to you, I asked myself one question. I said, I was listening to your rendition of my nusach of Hoshana Rabbah. It was awesome. It was an awesome rendition. I said, if you could replicate my nusach so well, so on Hoshana Rabbah, I could replicate last year's and 2 years ago's nusach too. I know my nusach at least as well as you do. So I started to ask myself, so how do I know that it's coming now from a sincere lev, that I'm really tuned in to Yiras Hashem, and that's what it's coming from? Maybe I'm just repeating last year's nusach, but the heart, the lev, is not there. So that thought made me cry. That maybe, in fact, it doesn't reflect where my lev is at that moment. A very demanding standard. But the point that it's, we can get fired up, and it's very easy to lose. Very easy to lose. You know, when you're 13 years old, they let you put on tefillin the first time. It's heady stuff, you know. When you're 15, I've done it hundreds of times already. What do you say when you're 50? And perhaps that's really the Indian of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, where did we go off the rails? Why did we get in trouble in the first place? So the Bach says the reason that we wound up with the Tzorah of the Yevonim was we lacked that fire. There was no fire in our Avodah. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman puts it very, very well. He has a book called Tales Out of Shul. Balabatim read it for its interesting stories, and for rabbis it's a handbook, because he was a master rabbi. So, in one point in the book, he says, talks about the dullness that exists in the shadows of religious life. Meaning to say that you come to the Beis HaKnesses, there are inspired people. They're really inspired in their Avodas Hashem. There are some people that are somewhat inspired in their way, that's Hashem. There are others that show up and they don't feel inspiration. It's okay. It's what I have to do. I come another day, so what? But there's no fire. The dullness that exists in the shadows of religious life. That's what brought us, the Bach says, to the problem of the Yevonim. What took us out of that problem was the Mesiras Nefesh. And that's at many different levels. There was the Mesiras Nefesh, which is extremely difficult to fathom, of Yehuda Maccabee and his brothers. How do you have within you to start such a war? The odds do not favor you in the least. The normal expectation for such a group is that, you know, within a week's time, they'll all be strung up and that'll be the end of them. That's in history, that's about the normal expectation for how long they're going to survive, at best. And that you should undertake it, and they actually won the war. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal says that when it comes to Gzeirah Shmad, then we have to act the Mesiras Nefesh with no calculations about how we will succeed or we won't succeed. They're irrelevant. When there's Shmad, then there's only one answer, and that is Mesiras Nefesh. go on the attack. And I've mentioned recently that Chofetz Chaim Zatzal wrote that our response to the communists was an error. Since it was a gzera shmad, we should have gone to war with them. What'll be? It's not our business what'll be. The response to shmad, the Chofetz Chaim, it's in the Chofetz Chaim's writings. The response to shmad, it may be even cited in the Kovetz Amor and Baruch Hanan, probably. The response to shmad is Mesiras Nefesh, with no cheshbonos. When we were ready to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom with such enthusiasm, with such commitment, the Rabbeinu Shalom created for us from that Mesiras Nefesh, the Nes of Hanukkah, which also, even when it came to Avodah, was they looked to do it in the best possible way. They didn't look to get by. Not to be yaitze, but to do it in the finest possible manner. And that perhaps, that's Malamich and Aaron. It's in the mitzvah that he was given. It was also Shaloshina. Not in the outer part of the mitzvah, but in the inner part of the mitzvah, the inner life of the mitzvah. He came each day with the same enthusiasm. It's a hard thing to do with all mitzvahs, with any mitzvah. Especially the mitzvahs that we do day in, day out, day in, day out. But the union of chinuch is the inauguration of a mitzvah, demands a different standard, a different level, a different commitment. And that plays a very, very important role. It talks in the beginning of Parsha, in Parsha's Lech Lecha, about Yaakov Avram Avinu, Vayetzu Lelechas Arzo Kanaan, Vayovo Arzo Kanaan. They left to go to Eretz Kanaan, and guess what? Vayovo Arzo Kanaan, they actually got there. So the Sforno says, this pasuk is meant to contrast that which took place with Terach at the end of Parshas Lech. Terach also left. Choron, the Kur Kazdim, each of the Rishonim of the Shitosim, where exactly he was coming from, but he also left to go to Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't get there. He died along the way. Avram Avinu is Vayetzu Lolechus Artokanon Vyavo Artokanon. He left in a different fashion, the Sforno says. He left with a deeper commitment to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. And that's ultimately what led him to succeed. He arrived in Eretz Yisrael for what reason? Because Vayetzu Lelechas Artzakanon. He left with a different fire, a different enthusiasm. Terach also left to go to Eretz Yisrael. Nope. If he didn't get there, the world didn't end. For Avraham Avinu, the world would have ended if he didn't get to Eretz Yisrael. This had to be. When he approached the mitzvah in that fashion, when he started off in that fashion, the Vayetzu Lelechus Artzakanon, with this tremendous commitment to come, so that it resulted in Vayavo Artzakanon. They actually arrived. So we talk about Chinuch, Chinuch of the Mizbeach. Chinuch of the Mizbeach. So we started a new chapter. Halfway through the life of the second Mikdash, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam rings down. He rings down the curtain on the initial building of the second Mikdash, and it's sort of, we build the Mikdash again. We rebuild the Mikdash. There's a new Chanukah. So there's a new starting point. And from this is supposed to give us the enthusiasm to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with depth, with commitment, with Mesiras Nefesh. The Rabbanan Chumash writes that the Mikdash could have been built by Mei David, except Dovid HaMelech personified Midas HaDin. He lived at a time of tremendous amount of warfare, and he was a warrior. That was his mitzvah. His mitzvah was Al-Pi Midas HaDin. The Beis HaMikdash is rooted in Midas HaRachem. A warrior cannot build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash doesn't stand on Midas HaDin, it stands on Midas HaRachem. So David HaMelech himself could not build the Beis HaMikdash. But if his generation had risen up a groundswell of popular support that we want to go build the Beis HaMikdash, and they made a Beis HaMikdash committee, and they put it into action, so it wasn't stemming from David HaMelech, they could have built the Mishka, the Mikdash, from the David too. They could have built it in his time. But they did not have that insight, and therefore it would have had to come from David. And David was not the personality that was supposed to build, not the neshama that should build the Beis HaMikdash. But David HaMelech was a very, very wise man. Because what do we say? Come back to most, or Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeyev. We came, the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled, we were tired of Mikdash, we reopened the Mikdash. So that's the Chanukah Samizbeyev. Yet the Balapia tells us there was another aspect. It was Egmar Bashir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach. What's the culmination of the culmination of the Chanukah? Is Bashir Mizmar. Is the Haidah, the thankfulness that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Shir Mizmar? The Shir Mizmar we say each morning in the Beis HaKnesses. Mizmor Shir, Chanukah Sabayas LeDavid. David HaMelech was very, very shrewd. He said, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam won't let me build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But the Shira of the dedication of the Mikdash that I'm going to write. And when they dedicate the Mikdash, what Shir will they recite? Mizmor Shir, Chanukah Sabayas LeDavid. They'll recite my Shir. And that's the culmination of the Chanukah. Because the culmination of the Chanukah is the realization of the connection from that Chanukah to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Arumimcha Hashem ki dilisone v'lo simach d'oyivayli. The feeling that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam picked me up, raised me up, and has not let my enemies triumph. I'm in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands. That's ultimately what the Mikdash symbolizes. The Mikdash is a place that we interface, we connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Shechina in this world. So David HaMelech, he could not build the Beis HaMikdash, but David HaMelech wrote the Shir. The Shir that would be recited for the Chanukas HaMishkan, the Chanukas HaMikdash, I should say, that's Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis HaDavid, that's written by David HaMelech. That we recite each day at the end of the tefillah. During Chanukah, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayas LeDavid. Because the ultimate aspect of the Chanukah Samizbeach is connecting us with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Shlomo HaMelech, the Medrash tells us, it's a Medrash in the beginning of Bamidbar Rama, among other places, tells us that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he made a special tefillah before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What was the nature of that tefillah? The nature of the tefillah was that every non-Jew that comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he was palo for something, the Rabbeinu Shalom should give him what he wants. Should not go home empty-handed. To such an extent that Chazal states that if the non-Jewish world had thought clearly, they would have put armed guards around the Mikdash to make sure that no one touched it. Because there are a tremendous amount to gain from its presence. More so than Klal Yisrael in this regard. Because we come to the Beis HaMikdash and we're not guaranteed that the Rabbeinu Shalom will give us what we want. The Rabbeinu Shalom thinks a different path is better for us. But since we have the Emunah to be Mekabalat, so Shlomo HaMelech left it to the Rabbeinu Shalom to act if he sees fit. But when the non-Jews come to the Beis HaMikdash, they'll see clearly the Yad Hashem. We saw Yad Hashem in the Mikdash. We came to attend Nisim in the Mizbeach, in the Mikdash every single day. A person came, you came to the Mikdash, you left the Mikdash, you were not the same. It was transformative, the experience. Right? Which is the symbolism. We use that symbolism. We have, it's well known, the halacha, if a person gets an aliyah, so he ascends from one side of the bima and leaves from the other side of the bima. So where does this come from? Because it says, when a person comes to the Mikdash, he should go in one shah and go out a different shah. He's not supposed to go out the shah that he came in. So what's the notion? The notion is that once I enter the Mikdash, there's no going back. I've left behind what I was before. Now, when I leave the Mikdash, I'm a new person. I should have been transformed by the experience. I came to the Beis Hashem. I saw the miracles. I experienced the Kedusha. When I go back to wherever I go, I should be at a totally different level than I've been until now. And now we have, interestingly, we have the same thing by an Aliyah L'Torah. We go up on one side of the Bima, down on the other side. It's Talmud Torah Barabbam. I read from the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. If I read from the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, I should not be walking down from the Bima the same as I went up. Learning, studying, reading the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah transforms a person. Makadosh the person. I'm a new person now. I'm not the person that walked up in the Bima before the Aliyah. So we exit from a different side. There's no going back to where we were before. But the sensitivity to the transformative aspect of the Mikdash, the transformative aspect of Limud HaTorah, that they transform us, we're not the same afterwards. This is really, as I said, it's the root message of the Chanukah. The Chanukah comes with a special enthusiasm, a special level, to teach us what it is to do a mitzvah, what it is to walk into a Beis HaMikdash. So at least B'yom Chinucha, on the day that we inaugurate it, we set our sights very high. So, because we are starting something, we're starting a ball rolling that has to sanctify us, that has to energize us. And David HaMelech tells us, how do we do that? Is Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. The Shira. Thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Neiros of Chanukah is the very eternity of Klal Yisrael. The realization that we light a candle. We undertake a small act before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And yet, it has such a powerful impact. It will reverberate across the centuries. It will serve to connect us with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's what we find in the Darshanim. The Darshanim looked at the menorah from a pedagogical standpoint. One of the halachas in lighting the menorah is that you have to hold the flame there until most of the wick is kindled, so that you secure that that fire is not going to go out. If you just light it at the very tip, maybe it's going to sputter and go out. So one of the things that we have to do is shetei shalhevus oyla me'eleho. So the Darshanim say that that's the way when we're mechanach children, when we inaugurate children to Torah, has to be in the same fashion. It's not helter-skelter. We have to teach them in such fashion, and it is such a level shetei shalhevus oyla me'eleho, that the Torah consumes them. The Torah is part and parcel of them. And the Mela changes them totally. Some, in fact, state that, you know, we have the most famous kasha of Hanukkah, right? The Beis Yosef's kasha. They say Rav Alper Zatzalot close to 100 terutzim to this kasha of his own. Right? This kasha is that the chag should have been for 7 days. Because right? The oil only burned for 7 extra days. So why is it that we have 8 days? Some of the terutzim I understand, some of the terutzim I don't understand. You know, among the very famous terutzim is that I do understand, they put all the oil in and only 1/8 of it burned. So each day was a mess. Those that claim that they only put in 1/8 of the oil, it's to me a dvar pella. We have a principle that yofa mitzvah b'shaita. There's a very famous shiloh that the achronim have. A person was in jail. He didn't get a pass to get out of jail. One day he had to let him out to go visit whatever town, his family, and then he has to come back to jail. So when should he wait for Yom Kippur and go to shul on Yom Kippur? So at least he'll have 1 day a year. The Yom Kippur, if he has to have 1 day a year, it'll be Yom Kippur. So the Chonim say, no, he shouldn't wait. Today he has a mitzvah to go daven b'tzibur. So he has to go daven b'tzibur. In the future, because of that, he won't be able to daven. So what does that have to do? Chaviv a mitzvah b'shaytu. What do we have to do? What do we have to do now? So, what will be with the rest of the day? What's our business? Today we have to be mekayim the mitzvah. So I'll ask you a question. Suppose a person had one kezias of matzah, sahakal. That's all he had. Shpura matzah, and the night of Pesach. So would you suggest, even if the second day would be midoraisa, it's not deraisa, but even if the second day would be midoraisa, would you suggest, well, he should do a half a kezias on the first night and a half a kezias on the second night? For two reasons he shouldn't do that. First of all, he'll be eight in either time. So what did he say? He lost totally. And secondly, he has a mitzvah. Chaviv a mitzvah b'shaiti. He has a mitzvah today to eat matzah. Let him eat matzah. What'll be tomorrow? Who knows what's tomorrow? Maybe I'll find the matzah tomorrow. Maybe I won't find them. If I won't, I'll be an onus, and that's it. But today I had a mitzvah to do, and I did the mitzvah. So I don't understand how one can conceivably say that they put in 1/8 of the oil. That defies any logic.
Some say that the wick was thinned down so that it wouldn't.
So there is bechal not a ness. So what do they want?
So they say that the ness was that it looked like it was a regular wick, even though it was.
I don't know. Listen, I can't tell you. So one of the answers to this question is that one day is for the Chanukah Samizbeach. 7 days were for the Shemen, the Ness of the Shemen. It burned 7 days more than it should have. But day one is a celebration of the Chanukah Samizbeach. And what all of this points to is the following. If I asked you the following question, Rabbi Yisai, is a Jew, he meticulously does all 630 mitzvahs. Not possible, but that's besides the point. But he did as many of the 630 mitzvahs that as any person is mechuyev. Is he a good Jew? Did he do everything the Rabbi Shalom wants on him? So we tend to think that the answer is yes. The only problem is that you and I both said once today, and we're going to soon say a second time today, that it's not true. What are we going to say in the third parasha of Kriya Shema? Man tiz keruv asisam es kol mitzvoyisoy. But we didn't stop the pasuk there. Ve'yisam kedoshim lelokeichem. It has to be mekadoshos. You have to be zoicha lekedusha. That is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal. And that's what we have to take from Hanukkah. From Hanukkah is the sense of the Kedusha and the Yevonim. That was a very key aspect that both the Mitzvahim and the Yevonim denied Kedusha. The world is a very secular place with secular happenings. You know, you want to have your own culture, do what you want. It's your business. But don't, let's leave the Rabbeinu Shalom out of all of this. That's that, you know, that has no role. Listen, you know, you want to have a barbecue on July 4th in America? Have a barbecue on July 4th. If you want to celebrate Ramadan in Saudi Arabia, celebrate Ramadan. You want to celebrate the seasonal holidays at the end of December? But it's all cultural expressions. Just leave the Rabbeinu Shalom out of all of this. There's nothing holy and there's nothing profane. It's all the same. And that's one pshat, maybe the pshat. I've been thinking about it the last number of days. The Yevonim made 13 pirtzes in the Seirik. Why did they make 13 pirtzes? Because this was a boundary. It was a boundary, and you saw La'amah. The non-Jews could go to the Seirig, and a Jew could go further, because he has a greater Kedusha. He was able to go to a greater Mokum Kodesh. The Greeks were out to be Mevatla. No, no differences. Inside, outside, us, you, we're all, everything is the same. It's all the same. And the message of Hanukkah, no, that there's Kedusha in the world. There's Kedusha. Rabbeinu Hashem sanctifies things, and if we approach with enthusiasm, if we approach with commitment, that we can find and discover that sanctity. It exists. And the restoration of the Mikdash was the restoration of the notion that there is Kedusha in the world. The world is not just a secular place. There's Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. There's Kodesh and there's Chol. And this was the ultimate message of Hanukkah. The chinuch, the enthusiasm with which we start, is so that we should be able to tap into the Kedusha. We should be able to be elevated by the Kedusha. So that's why the inauguration is very special. But the bottom line, the ultimate line is that Hamavdil in Kodesh L'Chol. So that's the message of Hanukkah, and that's the message that has sustained us throughout the whole Golos. There's an entire world out there marching in very different ways and very hostile to the things that we believe. But we sense the Rabbeinu Shalom's light. We can connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We can connect with the Chanukah. A freshness and enthusiasm. A avas Hashem and a avas mitzvahs. That's at the root, Rabbi Yisrael, what Chanukah is. I put out some cookies here before. What? Oh, the shtaylim should be nana, please. The Rebbe's and send them.